Picture House, a Time Warner company. HBO Films. Playtone. HBO Films presents, in association with Picture House and BBC Films, a Playtone picture in association with Neil Street Productions. A family in their 70s home.
Ever since I can remember, I've wanted to be clever. Some people are born clever, the same way some people are born beautiful. I'm not one of those people. I've had to work at it. If there's a question, I have to know the right answer.
Crystalline or glassy in appearance, which of the three principal classes of rock is formed by the cooling of molten earth material?
What do you reckon, Bray?
Volcanic.
Is it igneous?
Igneous is correct. Igneous rocks that have crystallized from a molten...
That was nearly right.
Start a question for 10 points. Derived from the Greek words for wing and finger, what name is given to a flying lizard of the Jurassic and Cretaceous period?
Pterodactyl.
Cronin, Oxford.
Is it a pterodactyl?
Pterodactyl is correct.
Yes!
Clever little thing, aren't
you?
As Francis Bacon once said, knowledge is power, which is why I want to know everything. I want to know about Plato and Newton, Tolstoy and Bob Dylan, what the words dialectic and peripatetic mean. I want to know why people actually like jazz. If I'm going to find the answers, I need to be in a place where people have a passion for knowledge, think it's important, sacred even. That's why I hope you'll accept my application to this university.
Now a teenager, Brian looks at the stony-faced interview panel expectantly.
So, was that the correct answer?
Well, it's not really a question of correct or incorrect, but it's certainly been entertaining.
Brian smiles shyly.
I think that's everything, Brian.
Brian stands.
Thank you.
We'll see you in October, Mr. Jackson.
Yes! So this is it. I've made it. Of course, there are going to be some pretty big changes. Leaving home, moving to a new city, away from people I've known all my life and friends who've always supported me.
You're not going to turn into a wanker, are you?
What?
I mean, you're not going to get all poncy, start saying one does and wearing a cloak and talking Latin.
Yes, Tom, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Their friends shut off the lights in the amusement arcade. The trio cross a road, Tones carrying a ghetto blaster.
Oi, slow down.
They swig from cans of beer while sitting on a bench at the end of a pier, Tones shaking his head to the music.
Why do we always have to listen to this?
Because
what?
Because it's Motorhead.
And
the head rule.
Because you say so.
This is my ghetto blaster.
Which ghetto is that then, Tone?
It's Westcliff-on-Sea.
Yeah, good one, Brian. Tell you what, why don't you stick on a bit of Kate Bush, yeah? We'll have a really good dance listening to Kate Bush, yeah? We'll have a really good time, we'll listen to Kate Bush, have a great dance, yeah? It'll all be... Bloody hell, Spencer!
Spencer's thrown Tone's tape into the sea. Another cassette.
I did this for you. Trick your new mates into thinking you got some taste.
Cheers, Spence. That's amazing.
It's only a tape, right? There's no need to get all gay about it.
So,
think you will retake your exams?
Oh,
or...
don't start.
Don't start what?
The careers guidance. I think it's a waste, that's all.
If it's a waste. Sitting on your ass for 3 years reading poems, that's a waste.
It's not just about that. It's about life experience. Expanding your mind, grappling with the big questions. Making exciting new friends.
As opposed to boring old ones.
I didn't say that, did I?
Look, I'm fine as I am, thanks, Bri.
Arseholes.
Besides, there's always Tone to debate the weighty issues of the day.
Never get that again. Thanks, mate. Best tape I ever made.
Let's get him.
In the sea. What? No. Hang on. What? Right. What? Right.
Let's come out of your
head. Ah! Right. That's it. Ah! Right. Space. Ah!
At home, Brian takes his dad's jacket out of a wardrobe, then puts it on in front of a mirror. He pulls the lapel to his nose and breathes in the scent. He pulls a black and white photo of his dad from the mirror's frame.
Oh. Is that what you're wearing?
You don't mind, do you?
No. No, no, of course not. No, it's very smart. Now, bread. Do you need bread?
Mum, I'll get bread there.
Chip pan.
Mr. Train, Mum.
Don't drink too much.
I won't if you won't.
And don't be cheeky. Now, are you sure you don't want me to walk you to the station?
Mum, I'm all right, honestly.
Now, take this.
No. No, you can't afford
don't
it, Mum.
Just take it. Mom. Try to eat a piece of fresh fruit every now and then. He'd have been so proud of you.
Brian's mum embraces him tightly, then waves at him from the door of their seaside home. Starter for 10. James McAvoy. Alice Eve. Rebecca Hall. Catherine Tate. Dominic Cooper. Benedict Cumberpatch. James Corden, Mark Gatiss, Guy Henry, John Henshaw, Elaine Tan, Simon Woods. With Charles Dance and Lindsay Duncan. Carrying a large rucksack on his back, Brian drags a pile of boxes on a trolley through a station, then past various classical-style terraced houses. He walks through a stone archway towards a red front door. Passing two bin bags, he struggles up the steps, then goes in. He pulls his luggage into the hall and looks around at the scruffy Victorian interior. He opens the nearest door to find two slim lads, one black and one white, playing ping pong while dressed in drag. Directed by Tom Vaughan.
Oh, take that!
Hi there, I'm your housemate, Brian Jackson.
Hello, Brian Jackson. I'm Josh, this is Marcus.
Hello.
Want me to show you to your quarters?
Yeah.
A single bed.
Hope you don't mind, but we allocated the rooms.
It's a bit small, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, we'll leave you to get ready for the party, then.
Party?
Tarts and Vickers. You are coming.
I think I'm going to stay here. Unpack and do some reading.
Josh and Marcus look unimpressed. Later, dressed as a vicar, Brian arrives at the sparsely populated party with them. Two girls are shimmying on the dance floor.
Right. I'll purchase the alcoholic beverages.
Have you got any money, Barry?
Any cash? It's just I don't have any pockets.
Okay.
Cheers, Squire.
Ta-ta!
Looking awkward on his own, Brian jigs his shoulders to the beat, then clicks his fingers. A man with shoulder-length hair and a beaded necklace walks up to him.
I just got back from India.
All right.
Amazing experience. Transformed me in ways I never could have imagined.
Such as?
Do you use toilet paper?
Well, now and then.
Not cool, you know. Terrible for the environment.
So, how do you, you know?
I use my hand and a bucket of water. You should try it sometime.
Sorry, I've just seen somebody I know.
All right.
Hi, do you mind if I pretend to know you?
Has he been asking you about toilet paper?
Yeah, it's uncool, apparently.
Yeah, well, so's gastroenteritis.
She rolls a fag.
The ironic thing is, I actually am a vicar. So what did you come as?
A normal person.
You could at least have come as a vicar.
Except I'm Jewish.
Really? Yeah. Wow, I've never met a Jew before. Not properly anyway, which is strange really, because loads of my heroes are Jewish. Mm. Woody Allen, Marx, Einstein, Dustin Hoffman.
Jesus.
Jesus, Freud, Kubrick.
Yeah, God, there certainly have been some amazing Jews. My people, thank you.
Here you go, Squire. Don't waste any time, do you, Barry?
Nice work, Barry.
Was there any change?
Sorry.
Well, nice talking to you, Barry.
Actually, it's Brian.
But he just called you Barry.
Yeah, he did.
What, and you didn't correct him?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Rebecca. Rebecca Epstein.
Rebecca Epstein? That's a Jewish name, isn't it?
Mm. Shalom, Brian.
Right, absolutely.
Alone again, Brian sips from his half-pint glass and jigs to the music. Later, he's wandering around the dance floor on his own, drinking a pint. Fishing into his jeans pocket, Brian gets another pint from a blonde serving at the bar. Looking fed up and lonely, Brian bops gently on the dance floor. He staggers down some steps into a corridor. With a deep sigh, he swigs back some more beer and begins walking away from the party. He drinks again, then puts down his beaker. Brian's walking along a colonnade when an illuminated notice board catches his eye. He stops walking and turns towards it. A poster with stenciled lettering says, "University Challenge Auditions, Friday 1 o'clock. Be there and be square." He tears it off. Still fully clothed, Brian wakes on his bed. He sleepily glances at his digital watch. Then finds the poster squashed underneath his head. Unfolding it, he scrambles upright. He runs down a flight of stairs, then along a corridor towards the University of Bristol Students' Union.
Rebecca.
Right.
Come to our demonstration.
I can't stop. I've got an important meeting.
All right. More important than the struggle against apartheid.
Listen, I'm really, really interested in this. It's just that I'm late.
Yeah, I know. Contemporary Jewish studies.
She smiles.
Oh, sorry.
In a large classroom.
Halt!
Hi, I'm here.
Fingers on buzzers. First question. What's that in your hand?
It's a poster.
And why is it in your hand rather than on the wall where everyone can see it? Never mind. Fill this in, will you? Anyone else waiting out there?
I don't think so, no.
Really? Bugger. Subject?
English literature. But I'm pretty good on sciences.
Newton's third law of motion.
Reaction is equal and opposite to action.
Take a seat, please.
Two are filled.
Anywhere?
Brian joins them.
Right, let's get started then, shall we? Sorry there aren't more of us. It seems that vandals have been tearing down the posters. I'm Patrick Watts from Ashton-under-Lyme. I'm reading mechanical engineering. Some of you may recognize me from last year's TV tournament. Once again, I'll be captaining this year's team.
Why?
Sorry?
If we lost last year, why are you still captain?
Well, because I'm a postgrad and I've been captain for the last 3 years.
Yeah, we've lost for the last 3 years.
But let's just crack on, shall we? order to qualify, you'll need to answer 30 questions in 30 minutes, and the top three scores join me, the captain, in this year's team. I have some lively little questions in there, so I think you're in for a pretty good time. But it is against the clock, so people, if you're ready, let's quiz.
Patrick takes his blackboard pointer from under his arm and places it neatly on the edge of his table. Distracted, Brian looks up from his paper to see the latecomer is an attractive young blonde woman in a short black skirt and a pink off-the-shoulder jumper. In slow motion, she walks towards him, making eye contact. Brian watches her as she takes a seat at the desk to his side. Thinking.
Okay, concentrate. Question six. Question six is, why is she smiling at me? That's not question six. Concentrate. Must concentrate. Look at the paper. Look at the paper. Don't look at her. Don't look at her legs. Or the curve of her neck. Just concentrate. Right. Question six. Six.
He puts on his glasses. Then a ball of paper is thrown onto his desk. He looks up inconspicuously to see the attractive girl is writing. He uncrumples the paper under his desktop.
Hey, handsome. Would you mind giving me the answers to 3 and 5? Thanks.
Cheating. She wants me to cheat. I can't do that. With pleasure. 3 is potassium permanganate, and 5 is Papua New Guinea.
Glancing up at Patrick, Brian screws up the answers and throws them to her. In his room, Brian pulls a small dark wood bookcase against a wall, pushes it into position, then loads it with books. He fixes posters to his wall of heroes, including Gandhi and John Lennon. Laying his mattress on the floor next to them, he places Marx and Freud books by it, then fixes the photo of his dad to the wall. On the steps of the uni, Rebecca's handing out flyers beneath a banner saying, "Support our nurses." At Patrick's.
Brian, can I help you?
I'm here for the team meeting.
Alice!
Hi.
Hello. Come in. Brian, you're not on the team. Alice here beat you.
Only by 1 point.
Even so, Brian's still the loser.
Well, loser's a strong word.
He is first reserve.
Shoes off, please. Follow me.
Brian, I'm so sorry. If you hadn't given me those answers, you'd have been on the team.
Oh, Alice, it's no big deal.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. But I owe you.
A photo of Patrick shaking hands with the University Challenge presenter, Bamba Gascoigne. On the TV.
Watts, Bristol.
Sorry, going to hurry you.
Is it?
Stupid. Death in the Maiden. Stupid. Stupid.
Is it Tchaikovsky?
No, I'm afraid that's not the correct answer, anyone. Salmon, Queens.
Schubert, Death and the Maiden.
Is correct. And at the sound of the gong, the winners of this year's grand final are Queens College, Cambridge.
His face contorted in emotional agony, Patrick walks into the corner and switches the TV off at the plug. The others watch him.
Obviously, I take no pleasure in showing that to you. But as someone once wrote, to is human. Anyone?
Alexander Pope says, "Hey, I'm man."
And, you know, I really feel that with dedication and good old-fashioned teamwork that this could be our year, which is why we're all assembled here today, the Fantastic Four, if you will, each with his or her own special powers. Colin, history, politics, Lucy, science, medicine, Alice, arts and literature, and myself as a sort of floating Renaissance man. Brian, coaster, please. Now, qualifying heats are in 2 weeks' time. It's untelevised, of course, but we'll still need to be in good form if we're to show them what we can do. Brian?
Should I come along to that?
That won't be necessary.
He is first reserve.
And I'd be more than happy.
Team members only, Brian. Hmm? Sure we can manage without you. Now, quantum mechanics, anyone?
Dear Spencer, just a quick note to let you know how things are going here. My housemates are really interesting. It's great to meet people from different backgrounds, and we are all having a really good laugh.
So sorry.
I've also become increasingly politically active, and have so far protested against apartheid, nuclear weapons, nuclear power, gay bashing, and the sexual exploitation of women.
Rather than mere objects for the sexual entertainment of men. Mm.
Did you know that under the bastard Tories, 7% of the country currently own 84% of the wealth? It's the same old story. The rich get richer and the most vulnerable in our country suffer. Anyway, how are you? How's the job hunt going? Got anything more permanent? Are you still signing on? I know there's not much out there at the moment, thanks to bloody Thatcher, but I'm sure something will come up soon.
Hey! Get yourself out of it.
Must sign off now, as I've got a lecture. I'm currently wrestling with the Romantic poets. Not literally, of course, as they have been dead for some time now.
What do the so-called Romantic poets mean by the term romance? Certainly not hearts and flowers, though an appreciation of extreme beauty was a vital source of inspiration. But the notion of the romantic...
Brian spots Alice at the lecture room door, holding a note saying, Brian, need you now. Looking bewildered, he leaves. Passionately, politically
engaged. Shouldn't you be the qualifiers?
That's the thing. Colin's been knocked over by a bus. He's okay, but it means you're on the team.
Yes! So glad that he's okay.
50 questions. 30 minutes. Conferring is allowed, and to make the grade, we need a score of 70% or higher.
Excuse me, but we're trying to do a quiz here, and it's against the clock.
It's got to be done sometime.
This man has been sent from the offices of University Challenge!
The cleaner holds up her hands. Patrick sits.
So, if we're ready... Sergeant Troy, Fanny Robin, and Bathsheba Everdeen all appear in which novel by Thomas Hardy?
A Return of the Native.
Return of the Native.
Actually, I think it might be Far from the Madding Crowd.
Oh, of course it is. Go with Brian.
Far from the Madding Crowd.
Correct. Passer domesticus is the scientific name for which commonly known bird?
The common house sparrow.
Correct.
Inflammation of the pancreas.
Correct.
The Sistine Chapel.
Is the correct answer.
The Rings of Saturn.
Correct.
The 38th parallel.
Correct.
They carry their young in pouches.
Correct.
My love is like a red, red rose.
1664.
Prime numbers.
Diaghilev.
The spleen.
Correct.
The Berlin airlift.
Trick question. None of them.
Gamma rays. Longshore drift.
The Venus de Milo.
Correct. And your final question. Which decade saw the invention of the replaceable razor, the formation of the Ford Motor Company, and the death of Oscar Wilde?
1890s. I'm pretty sure it's the 1900s.
I am going to have to hurry you.
Lucy, what do you think? Actually, I think Brian's right.
Is the answer the 1900s?
Correct.
Right, well then. Congratulations, team. Brian, glad to have you on board.
Great.
Thanks.
Bye. Brian, I've never seen anything like it. You're a general knowledge god.
So what made you want to take the challenge anyway?
The challenge? Well, I want to be an actress or a TV presenter or something. And it's all experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about you? How come you know all that stuff?
Misspent youth. And I suppose I've always just liked that feeling of knowing things. Look, for some reason, it all goes in and stays there, and it's just useless knowledge.
Do you think there's such a thing as useless knowledge?
Well, sometimes. I wish I hadn't learned to crochet.
You are joking, aren't you?
Oh, you watch it. Hey, hey!
Better not.
There won't be dog poo in there.
Right.
Oh, God, I just remember mask workshop. I've got to run. I'll see you at the next rehearsal.
Alice, what are you doing on Friday? It's my birthday.
You're having a party? Well, of course I'll come.
Not a party, exactly. I was thinking more dinner or something.
Just me and you?
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I'd love to.
It's the correct answer.
Okay. Friday.
Smiling, Brian gives her a wave as she walks away. He kicks up the pile of autumn leaves victoriously before skipping, then running down the path. Wearing a towel around his waist, Brian's standing in front of a yellow sink. He covers himself with talc, sprays an aerosol over his torso, then vigorously rubs apricot scrub into his face. Alice answers her door in a low-cut dress.
Oh.
Something wrong?
No. No, I just think you could have put in a bit more effort, that's all.
So, where are you taking me?
The pair read their menus at a table for two in an empty restaurant. They both look around at the tacky decor.
It's a good job I reserved a table.
This is great.
Are you sure? They look posher from outside with all the candles and everything.
But I love pizza. And they do one with chips on. King Edward.
Right. Hello. Hi. Excuse me.
The waiter's tying up a bin bag.
The Lambrusco Bianco. Could you tell me what year it is?
1985.
I know what year it is. I just meant, what year is the wine?
1985.
Very well. We'll have the white Lambrusco Bianco, 85, please.
The waiter goes.
Look, it sticks. Hooray!
They each open a packet. Brian pretends to smoke one. Alice waves hers around like a sword.
Do you know, I think I'm going to have these garlic mushrooms.
Well, you won't be snogging anyone tonight.
She looks down, embarrassed.
So have you had many boyfriends, or...?
Whoa. Where did that come from?
I don't know, I'm just curious.
What, you really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I was 15, there was Charlie, who was the lead singer in this band. He was incredibly handsome. I left
gorgeous.
Him with Rufus. We then had a 9-month affair.
Mm-hmm.
I then went out with his best friend called Rob.
I had a fling with a lovely Italian guy called Alessandro.
He was like all sporty and stuff. He was like skinny because he was younger, but he had like muscles and definition and stuff.
So Gregor was lovely.
But incredibly possessive. In the end, we had to call the police, and I think he was deported. And I think that's about it.
Funny, isn't it? How many of them end up being mad or suicidal or in prison?
I know. Rufus, you know, the performance artist, the one who set fire to himself. Mm. He used to say, I had the kiss of death. So I'm giving it all up. Concentrate on my work and get me to a nunnery.
Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1.
You never stop, do you? What do your parents do again?
Mum works in a shoe shop and Dad's dead.
Oh.
It's all right. Don't get all serious. It was a long time ago.
What happened?
Well, he was a salesman, double glazing. You know, working on commission. Long, long hours. He hated it. Anyway, it must have been eating away at him because one day he just fell over, apparently. In this old couple's living room, selling them polyurethane windows. 41 years old. Let's get another drink. Excuse me.
Do you think about him?
Of course. Every day. But we never really got to know one another. Not as adults, anyway. I really only remember sitting in front of the telly with him. Quizzes. He loved quizzes. Nature programmes, anything educational. Knowledge. That was the key, he said, to being happy. Not ending up doing some job you hate. Where's that waiter?
He'd have loved you.
Think so?
Of course. Don't you?
Don't know. I think he might have thought it was a bit weird, to be honest.
Oh, he'd have been very proud of you.
Why?
Going to university. Star of the quiz team. Doing all the things he never got to do.
Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, Alice, excuse me, yeah, do you mind if I just pop off to do?
You are such a lovely man.
As they hug, the waiter walks out of the kitchen, smiles at Brian and gives him the thumbs up. Outside.
Listen, I'm sorry about tonight. I don't usually cry until much later in the evening.
No, you mustn't apologise. It was very illuminating. Brian, what are you doing at Christmas?
Just the usual. Watching telly with Mum, eating cheap chocolate. Just that kind of thing, really. Why?
Well, it's just that we've got this cottage in Suffolk. And it's so dull, and it's just Michael and Rose and me.
Who are Michael and Rose?
My parents. I thought maybe you could come and stay.
He looks delighted.
Can't really leave Mum.
No, but after Christmas, for New Year. My parents keep themselves to themselves most of the time, so it would just be me and you walking, reading, hanging out. If the idea fills you with dread, then, you know.
Yes. No, yes, that would be really good.
It's decided then. Thank you.
Good night.
She smiles as she opens the door to her halls. Brian begins to skip and dance around in the courtyard outside, while Rebecca leans out of her window in her pyjamas.
So I think it went okay then, Romeo?
Well, you know, it went all right.
So is love in the air?
Not love. Like.
Like is in the air.
She sticks a toothbrush in her mouth thoughtfully and closes the window. He waves, then strolls away with his hands in his pockets. Back in Southend, a Christmas tree is lit up in the window of Brian's home as he returns.
Mum? Hello? Mum?
Smiling, he climbs the stairs, while in the bathroom, his mum's top to toe in bath bubbles with a mustachioed man. Brian walks in.
Brian! Get out! Get out now!
Our obligation to make our own individual contributions, however small.
The tubby man slicing a turkey with an electric knife.
His name's Des, a widower from down the road, an ice cream man. You know when he's coming round because you can hear the chimes. They've been keeping each other company ever since I left, twice a day sometimes.
These are nice, Julie.
Little sausages wrapped in bacon, Des. Eat your sprouts, you'll get rickets.
Rickets is calcium deficiency, Mum. You're thinking about scurvy.
Oh, Brian, I don't care. Just eat them, will you?
Likewise. And I hope that we shall all try to make some good news in the coming year.
By the way, I've got an announcement to make.
What's that then?
Well, it's just something that happened last term.
Oh, God, Brian.
Mum, don't worry. It's a good thing.
Tell me then.
I've got to be on University Challenge.
What, that thing on the telly?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brian. That's brilliant news.
Cheers.
Oh, God, what a relief.
Why?
Well, to be honest, Bri, I thought you were going to say you were gay.
Brian looks unamused. Des is leaning up against the ice cream van, watching as Brian approaches Julie, who's standing next to a gravestone in a cemetery.
What are you doing, Mum?
Oh, just telling him what you're up to. How you're going to be on telly and everything.
What does Dad say?
He doesn't say anything, Brian.
In the arcade, Spencer and Tone are playing air hockey.
How long are you down for, then? Actually, I'm leaving the day after tomorrow.
You're not coming out New Year?
No, no, I'm going to go and stay with my mate Alice in her cottage.
Cottage? What is she, a milkmaid?
Are you shagging it, then? Tone, it's platonic.
Platonic? What does that mean?
At least she won't let him shag her.
Get lost, Tone.
Spencer pulls down the shutter on the front of the arcade. Then the three walk along the pavement, drinking from cans. Later, they stumble out of a pub called Never Say Die.
Right, where now? Ritzy's? Manhattan's?
Not Manhattan's. Actually, I think I'm going to go home.
Come on, Jackson, you wuss.
No, I'm all right. I've got reading and stuff, but I'll see you soon, yeah?
Yeah, piss off.
Brian looks annoyed as Tone walks away.
What's up with you? Why are we always telling each other to piss off, Spence? What's wrong with good night? No, sleep well. Happy Christmas. Just don't get all this hostility. Listen, Brian, you're my oldest mate. You're my best mate and I love you. And I think it's great that you're going out there, meeting all these new people, staying in cottages, all that stuff. Promise me one thing, yeah? Promise me you haven't turned into a wanker.
Spencer squeezes Brian's shoulder, then goes. Brian ponders for a few moments.
Oi, Spence, wait for me!
He runs across the road towards the bus. Outside his house...
Here, I'll take a towel.
I'll use their towels.
You can't use their towels.
Bye, Mum.
Oh, well, at least take this.
What is it?
Cold meat. You know, turkey, ham, a couple of those little sausages.
Mum, I really don't think they're going to need
that. I'll take it. It'll only go off. Please.
Stick it in.
You sure you don't want to stay for New Year?
Not this year, Mum. Besides, you've got Mr. Whippy now, ain't you?
Brian, that's enough.
What?
You know what? Go on, then. Have fun.
At night, Brian gets out of a train onto a platform as snow gently falls around him. He walks towards Alice, who's standing on the platform, wearing a long sheepskin coat, stripy scarf, and woolly hat.
Bees hum by blowing air through their spiracles.
Spiracles? It's fascinating.
I know.
Isn't that fascinating, Michael?
Sorry, I was somewhere else.
So, Brian, is this your first time in Suffolk?
No, I was here once before on a climbing holiday.
Really? Isn't it very flat for climbing?
I was misinformed.
Brian's joking, Rose.
Oh.
In the bedroom.
Oh my God, I love this song. I lost my virginity to this on a mime course in Tuscany.
Yeah?
Let's set the mood. Michael and Rose have gone to bed.
Brian looks uneasy as Alice lights a joint. She exhales, then offers it to him.
No thanks.
What's up?
I just can't smoke.
You can't smoke?
Oh, I never learned.
Oh my God, Brian, how can you not smoke? Smoking is what I do best. Or second best, anyway. All right, we'll try a different approach. On your knees, facing me. Hands behind your back. Now, I'm going to blow the smoke into your mouth and you're going to inhale very deeply. Understood? Mm.
She draws on it, then puts her lips in front of his and blows. His cheeks bulging, Brian gags a couple of times while staring at her. He exhales.
Nice?
Very nice.
Again?
Please.
Are you sure it's very strong?
I can taste it.
Okay, here it goes.
She draws, then leans close and breathes into his mouth. Brian pulls her to him, and their lips lock together. She pushes him back a little.
You should exhale now. This is a terrible idea. Kiss of death. Remember?
He kisses her. Sitting back, he looks bleary-eyed.
Actually, I'm feeling a little bit.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Night, Brian.
Later, Brian sleepily rolls onto his back, his face bright red. Laid on top of a lamp, Alice's scarf is smouldering. He picks it up and shakes it, then searches inside his rucksack for the cold cuts. He slumps into a chair at the dining table and, holding a long knife, picks up a slice of ham and chews some off before placing it onto a piece of bread. Rose walks into the kitchen and opens the fridge, completely naked. Closing the door, she sees Brian slicing his sandwich.
Oh, my God!
Oh. Well, hello, Mrs. Harbinson.
Brian, you scared me.
She picks up a towel.
Still, I expect you've seen hundreds of naked women before.
You'd be surprised, Mrs. Harbinson.
I've told you before, please don't call me that. It makes me feel so old. Call me Rose.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Harbinson?
What?
I said, are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Harbinson?
No, Brian, I most certainly am not.
No. It's just like a quote. No, like Mrs. Robinson.
I haven't the least intention of trying to seduce you.
Oh, no, and I don't want to seduce you either. That's not to say that you're unattractive, because obviously you've got a beautiful body for someone of your age.
I beg your pardon.
What's going on down here?
Nothing's going on.
Hello, Mr. Harbinson.
Then what the hell are you talking about?
Nothing. I just came down for a glass of milk and I bumped into Brian, that's all.
Right, I think I'll just head back upstairs.
Brian, where are your trousers?
Well, you can talk, big guy.
Brian, are you stoned?
No way, man.
Michael and Rose look at each other as Brian chuckles uncontrollably. At the station...
I'm so sorry about all this. We only found out this morning. Granny fell down the stairs in the night and fractured her hip, apparently. We just thought we'd better go and see her in hospital down in Dorset. My mum and dad set off early this morning. They sent their love, by the way. They're so sorry you can't be here for New Year's Eve.
Aww. Actually, I bumped into them in the kitchen last night.
Really?
Did they say anything?
No, not at all.
Right.
Listen, Brian, the train's not for 6-7 minutes yet. Do you mind if I don't hang around?
Of course not.
With a gloomy expression, he watches Alice's 4x4 drive away. At his uni house...
Hello? Anyone home?
He finds dirty plates on the kitchen table.
No, thought not.
He picks them up and puts them on the stove. Later, Brian's walking along the quayside, carrying a plastic bag, when he sees Rebecca in the distance, handing out flyers.
Excuse me, come to our demonstration.
Not bad to have you, see.
Hi, guys.
Come to our demonstration.
Sorry, no thank you.
Catch us up, Rebecca.
He's protesting on New Year's Eve.
Injustice never rests.
Well, me thinks the lady doth protest too much. It's from Hamlet. It's a joke.
I think I'll be the judge of that. Good Christmas.
Not really. You?
We're secular Jewish non-Zionist socialists. We don't really do Christmas.
Right. Sounds a riot.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think I'm back here? What's in the bag?
Just New Year's Eve dinner.
Individual chicken pie and a tin of sweet corn. Fasten your seatbelts.
Yeah, except for a souvenir tea towel.
Well, I hope you had some clothes on.
Socks, shoes, no trousers.
What, and then she chucked you out?
She didn't chuck me out, Rebecca.
No,
Alice's elderly grandmother accidentally had her fall down the stairs and fractured her hip. She could have been telling the truth.
Yeah, of course she was telling the truth. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry. So what are we going to do tonight?
Haven't you got a party to go to?
I think I can skip that.
I've got an individual chicken pie.
Oh, well then how could I possibly refuse? I'm only flesh and blood.
Later, they're at Brian's with a bottle of whiskey labelled Josh, keep off, on the table.
I've never been very good at those parties anyway. 200 drunk students hurling themselves at each other in a tiny room. Then at 3 a.m, some lager-breathed stranger trying to rub his face on me. I think I'm safer here.
So you don't have a, what's the word, boyfriend or partner?
What, comrade? Not as such. Never seem to have much luck in that department. Don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Bryony, are you trying to flirt?
No.
Then why are you putting on that voice?
Look, I just mean, I'm sure you could have a, boyfriend if you wanted one.
I have my amorous moments, I suppose, once in a while. Oh. What's this?
It's my notebook. That's just for jotting down ideas. It's poetry.
Oh, right. You... Brian, you have to promise me something.
Mm-hmm.
Promise me that you will never, never show me your poetry.
I wouldn't dare, Rebecca.
They both look around.
Hey, what's the time?
It's 11:56.
Well, we can't start 1986 listening to this moaning.
Oi!
Right.
She starts a record playing, then pours some more whiskey into a glass, while Brian smiles at her from his bed. She sits next to him.
Well, I hope you're not too disappointed.
What?
I'm stuck here with me instead of Blondie.
Rebecca? Of course not! Look, I'd much rather be here.
Mm, is that right?
Mm.
She smiles as he drinks.
Hey, what's the time?
It's 11:58.
2 minutes to go. What should we do to pass the time?
Avoiding eye contact, Brian looks down at Rebecca's lap while she smiles at him. Gradually, their faces get closer and closer until they kiss. Their short kisses become longer, then they lie down on the bed. He reaches under her top.
Wait, hang on a sec, Brian.
What?
I'm sorry, was that wrong?
Wrong? No, it's not that. Look.
His alarm clock shows 11:59. Brian gets up and switches on the radio while Rebecca pours another whiskey. Grinning, they dance in a circle, then kiss.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, Alice.
She pushes him away.
Alice?
He stares at her dopily.
Rebecca! Rebecca! Look, it was a slip of the tongue.
What, the tongue you had down my throat, you mean? You really are a complete and utter prat, Jackson.
I know.
Christ knows I've met some cats in my time, but you really do win your
board. What, let me help you with that.
Get your hands off of me. Well, thanks for a memorable evening, Brian. And have a happy new year.
She knocks over the bikes in the hall as she storms out. Outside, she marches down the path while putting on her leather jacket. She ignores the revelers as she walks along the esplanade. In the daytime, Brian's forcing a Christmas tree into a bin. Josh and Marcus return home. Outside the uni, Brian watches from a distance as Rebecca hands out anti-nuclear power leaflets. In his flat, Patrick's firing questions at Lucy, Alice and Brian, who are sitting on his sofa. Sitting in bed wearing gloves, Brian's trying to study but throws down his book frustratedly and pinches the bridge of his nose. In a seminar...
My heart aches. Drowsy numbness pains my sense, as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains. Brian, stay on afterwards, will you? 1 minute passed and Leithy Woods had sunk. All right, well, are you experiencing emotional problems?
Emotional problems?
Affairs of the heart, anxieties of a romantic or perhaps sexual nature, and believe me, Brian, I'm finding this at least as embarrassing as you are.
What makes you ask?
Well, when I interviewed you a year ago now, you struck me as being a particularly passionate young man, a little incoherent maybe, a little gauche. Is that fair, do you think?
Go on.
But you also seem to have a sincere passion for knowledge that's missing from some of our, what should we say, some of our more privileged students. And that's why I was happy to offer you a place, because I knew that you'd actually fought for it. But looking at your grades this year, 74%, 68%, 57%, it seems you're actually becoming less intelligent. And that, strangely enough, is not what an education is for.
Jackson Bristol.
Toad and Badger.
Is the wrong answer. The TS in T.S. Eliot stands for Jackson Bristol.
Thomas Stewart.
Once again, the wrong answer. Lucy?
Thomas Stearns.
Correct.
Patrick, just
studio
one...
Studio conditions, Brian. In anatomy, where might you find the arcuate fasciculus Wernicke's... Jackson Bristol.
Sorry, is Alice coming today?
Apparently not. I'm not delighted about it either, Brian. In 24 hours, we're making a recorded appearance in front of a TV audience of millions, and you think Thomas Eliot's middle name was Stewart? Once again. The arcuate fasciculus, Wernicke's area.
Brian arrives back at the house, where Spencer's sitting on a chair in the kitchen.
So this is where it all happens, is it?
Spencer, what are you doing here?
I thought I'd pay you a visit. Don't mind, do you?
No. Hey.
They hug.
It's really good to see you, Spence. Just a bit of a surprise, that's all. Who let you in, anyway?
Some wanker in a velvet waistcoat.
You were nice to him, though, weren't you?
I don't know. Should I have been?
Well, it's just, I do have to live with him.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
Are you writing poetry?
No. Give me that. Give me that.
Who's Alice, anyway?
With the big bazoos.
You're not serious.
You are serious. Bloody hell, Spencer. What now?
I'm being prosecuted for fiddling my unemployment benefit.
What's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. Depends on the judge, I suppose.
But you still got the arcade job, right?
Not as such, no. They sort of found me with my hand in the till.
What do they think you took? A couple of hundred? How much did you take? Yeah, a couple of hundred sounds about right. Spencer.
Well, you're a socialist. I thought you approved of the redistribution of wealth.
By acquiring the means of production. Not by just nicking stuff.
Can we talk about something else? I came here to get away from all that, have a bit of a laugh, bit of fun, yeah?
OK. Yeah. No, we can do that.
Is she going to be here then?
Who?
You know. The posh one. The one in the poems.
Alice? Yeah, I hope so. Be nice, though, won't you?
And me? I'm always nice.
With this hat right. And a bucket of water.
Oh. Look, let's move on, eh?
I am the many mortal of a mortal major general. I have information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quite the quite the stuff of the marathon, the mortal, and all the categorical.
It'll liven up. Come on, let's see what's happening upstairs, yes?
A cool crowd, chatting and drinking.
Come here.
That's her. In the leotard. Well, introduce us then.
What for?
You told me to be nice.
Yeah, but I thought we'd go and have a drink or
she's
something.
She's coming over.
What?
She's coming over.
No.
They stand.
Hi. So, who's this then?
This is Spencer.
Oh, the famous Spencer. I've heard all about you.
Yeah, I've heard all about you.
Oh, good.
Drink, anyone?
Tell me, what have you heard?
I don't think I can say. Anyone want a drink?
What have you heard?
You first.
No, you first.
I'm going to just go and get some drinks, yeah?
Parsley, sage, rosemary and thyme.
Brian searches in a bathtub filled with beer cans. He drops one. Then Rebecca hands it back to him with a polite smile.
You're not going to hit me, are you?
Haven't decided yet.
Rebecca! I'm sorry about...
Brian, I got drunk. I was having a nice time and I fancied a bit of human whatever contact. And I made a mistake. Misread the signals. Very embarrassing, but not a big deal. I'm sure I'll learn to love again.
Holding the beers, he follows her into the hall as she swigs a drink.
So have you got your fluffy mascot packed ready for the big match?
No, thinks all a bit silly, that mascot stuff.
Oh, Brian, you're such a maverick.
So you're going to come along and watch then?
What, see you in action? You must be joking.
I wish you would. There's a free minibus.
Yeah, what do you care anyway?
Oh. I'd just like you to be there, that's all. Only don't say anything to my mate Spencer. He'd only take the piss. Oh, my God, Patrick.
It's probably a slightly different situation.
Brian, hope that's not an alcoholic beverage in your hand there. Big day tomorrow and all.
Why is that, then?
Because he's the team's star player, aren't you?
What team?
This year's University Challenge team.
You're joking. No. You? Well, me, Alice, Lucy and Patrick. What, actually on telly? Yeah. Bloody hell, Brian, you dark horse.
Something funny?
No, not at all, mate. Just always wondered what kind of bizarre nerdy swap would want to go on a programme like that. It turns out it's you, Brian. I didn't want to tell you.
It's good. So, where are you studying, mate?
Actually, Patrick, Spencer's taking a year out.
No, I'm not. I'm unemployed.
I see. Social security, then.
That's right, yeah. Or he was, until those bastards decided to prosecute him.
Are you being prosecuted, Spencer?
Well, only for filling in his dole.
Do you think he'll go to prison?
No, I'm sure if he didn't do it, he'll be fine.
But he did. He had to, didn't he? Just to make a living wage.
So you did have a job?
Bit of cash in hand, yeah.
Well, then, to say best of luck, mate.
Well, hang on. Do you have any idea how much the government pay a week?
So, there's obviously plenty of work out there.
That's a little harsh, Patrick. Some
there's
people
3 million unemployed.
Yes, but he isn't one of them, is he? This job wasn't paying him enough. He should get on his bike and find a better one. He certainly shouldn't steal from law-abiding citizens.
Here's a question for you, mate. What is my name?
What?
Spencer, put him down.
You heard me. What is my name?
You don't have to worry, yeah?
Spencer, I'm serious, put him down!
My name is...
Patrick, say Spencer!
Spencer!
Correct! And if you've got something to say to me, you say it to my face, all right?
Spencer!
Oh, my God.
Spencer stands defiant as Lucy tends to Patrick on the floor. Sitting on a metal stair in the rain, Brian's leaning against the banister, deep in thought. He swigs from a bottle as Rebecca runs towards him, clutching her arms close to her chest.
Ugh. Party's over.
He offers her the bottle, but she shakes her head.
Your friend was looking for you.
Why do you think I'm sitting out here?
Quite a handful, isn't he?
They grin at each other.
Is Alice all right?
She bites her lip as she ponders her answer.
Brian, sometimes the people you care about the most just basically don't give a toss about you.
Look, you don't know that.
Well, go on then, try. I dare you. Go and see her right now and tell her how you feel, and then maybe we can all get some bloody peace.
He puts the bottle down on the stair and marches off. He begins to jog away through the pouring rain. He knocks on a door, looks up, then knocks on it again. Bounding round the corner, he grabs the fire stairs and pulls them down. Outside Alice's flat.
Come on, Alice, open up!
Alice opens the door in her underwear.
My God, Brian. What's up?
Could I come in, do you think?
I'll get some clothes on.
Right.
Inside, she slips on a pink silky robe.
Okay, you can come in.
Right. I'm sorry about tonight. I love Spencer, but he can be such a wanker sometimes.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I know I probably shouldn't say this. It was actually quite exciting. Like Roman gladiators or something. And
I've been dying to do that for so long.
Oh, what? Please don't.
What? We did it before.
We've got a big day tomorrow. Can we just talk about this some other
time? I love you, Alice. At least I think I do. I thought that we had something, didn't we, Alice? Some kind of chemistry or electricity or whatever, but...
What, mate?
It's Spencer.
We were talking.
Right.
Look, I know you might not believe this. I was actually putting in a good word for you.
Spencer, mate, you were half naked.
Oh, we was only fooling around. It's nothing serious. Look, Bright, if you've got something to say, just say it, because this is stupid.
You knew how I felt about her. You knew, Spence. I told you. And you couldn't keep away.
She started it.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it? And what about a fight? Was that somebody else's fault as well?
What do you expect? He was trying to make me look stupid.
So you resorted to violence?
No, I didn't resort to it. Violence was my first choice.
All right, that's cool. That's very hard, mate.
Well, I didn't exactly see you going out of your way to help me, did I, Judas?
I was sticking up for you!
Oh, that's what you were doing. You see, for a moment, I thought you were just flapping your social conscience around in front of your girlfriends. You made me feel like a prick, Bri. You are a prick. Don't push your luck, Jackson.
What is it, Spencer? This need to smash things up? Yeah, it's all very well messing your own life up, but why'd you have to do it with people that care about themselves? People who are trying to, I don't know, achieve something, make something in their lives.
Well, like you mean?
You're just jealous of me.
Jealous? What of you? You think because you read a couple of books, you're suddenly better than me? That's not what Alice seems to think.
Brian swings for him, but Spencer deflects it and pushes him away.
I want you gone, Spencer. I want you on the first train. I don't care how much trouble you're in. You've got to go.
Brian. Where are you going, Brian?
Brian walks off.
I'm sorry.
Brian, wake up. We have to be in Manchester in 2 hours.
Brian!
Patrick has a huge black eye.
2 minutes, Brian.
Outside by the car.
Patrick, if it's any consolation, look, I'm sure I can cover that up with my car.
Just get him.
Alice is driving.
Hey there.
Lucy grins.
Here we are then, the Fantastic Four.
They drive off in the pea-green car with a round roof.
The duodenum and ileum form part of which bodily system?
The digestive system.
Correct. The Wild Duck and Rothmuth Home are by which Nordic playwright?
Patrick, can I just ask, do you think by some kind of freakish coincidence these questions are going to be on the show? Because if they're not, it's a bit of a waste of time, isn't it?
It's a warm-up, Brian, for those of us who aren't feeling too fresh this morning.
What about Alice, then? Late night, was it, Alice?
Not here, Brian.
Right, so just the four of us today, or is someone hiding in the back?
Well, later, okay?
Someone please tell me what the hell's going on.
I know. Let's listen to some music. It's so wonderful, wonderful life. No
need to laugh. They pull up at the stage door of the studio. Julie and Des are standing next to the ice cream van.
Finally, I'll let them know you're here. Ryan, where are you going?
Just give me 5 minutes, all right?
You're going to be late because of you. All right, but 5 minutes only.
Mum, it's not for hours yet.
I know. We set off at dawn. We thought we'd make a day of it. I bought Des along. You don't mind, do you?
No, that's fine.
What do you think, Bri?
I've got to go.
Brian, is something wrong?
What could possibly be wrong, Mum?
Is it Des, Bri? Brian! Get back here this minute, young man!
He walks back to her.
Brian, I wish your dad was here today too, but that's not going to happen, is it? I'm sorry you don't like Des, but I do. And he likes me, and he makes me laugh. Which, believe me, hasn't happened much in the last 10 years.
Jackson, we're waiting. Now!
I've got to go.
Inside.
Everything all right?
He ignores her.
Brian, I can't stand this. That's not talking.
What was there to talk about, Alice?
I'm sorry if I led you on. And I'm sorry about Spencer. I didn't intend to. It was just a sort of physical animal attraction, sex thing.
This isn't necessarily helping me, Alice.
The team step out of a lift.
Oh, my God.
It's their opponents dressed in scholastic robes.
So, we meet again.
Later, the Cambridge team pass above them on the stairs as Brian's team sit in the corridor.
Isn't that the team that...
beat us last year. Yes, Lucy, that's correct. OK, people, let's quiz. How many vertices has a dodecahedron?
12.
Wrong, minus 5 points.
So they're really, really good, aren't they?
The so-called Hammer of the Scots, which...
It's Henry II.
Minus 10 points.
So basically we're screwed.
Edward II.
OK, Brian, here's a question for you. If you don't know the answer, why the hell do you bother even opening your mouth?
Well, nobody else was answering, so I thought we might as well have a stab.
OK, everyone, let's just calm down.
That's your problem, isn't it? Always having a stab without a clue. Stab, stab, stab. Getting everything wrong, 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 wrong.
Right, I'm off to find a pub.
It's fun, remember?
You know, I don't even know why I let you on this team in the first place. You are completely ignorant. Worse even than that thick yob of a friend of yours.
Oh, you started that.
You turn up drunk, reeking of booze, looking like a tramp on national television.
Don't do that, Patrick.
That's true what they say, isn't it? You can take the boy out of Essex, but you can't take Essex out of the boy.
Brian headbutts him. Brian feels his nose, then falls flat on his back. As he slowly comes to, he sees Rebecca looking down at him, smiling.
Of course, what we witness here is a basic misunderstanding of the principle of the headbutt. You're meant to hit the soft part of their nose with the hard part of your forehead, not the other way around. Here, how many fingers am I holding up?
If I get it wrong, do I lose 5 points?
No, not this time.
3.
Battle of Agincourt.
14, 15.
Yeah, I think you're going to be all right.
He feels his nose.
Glad you came.
What? You, lying unconscious in a pool of your own blood, wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Mr. Jackson, we need you now.
Wait.
Oh, this is for you. I managed to get most of the blood out.
Thank you so much.
His jacket.
Yeah?
Yeah, you might want to... Yeah, let me.
She dabs his bloody nose.
That's all right. That's really bad. Now, Mr. Jackson.
Wait, and Brian? Well, show those stuck-up bastards what you're made of.
In the studio...
If you'd like to wait... Here.
Okay. Ah, there's Bamba.
Wait here, please.
Brian sits on the assistant's clipboard, then picks it up and puts it on his lap. He tries to stick down an envelope on the top, then finds the question cards inside.
Oh, my God.
Looking around, he puts on his glasses. He reads the card on top.
Which constellation of seven bright stars includes Merak, Megrez and Mizar? Ursa Major or the Great Bear, also known as the Big Dipper. I knew that.
He slides them back into the envelope. Then quickly takes his glasses off as the assistant returns with Patrick and Lucy.
Oh. There it is. Okay, everybody, 2 minutes.
Brian and Patrick exchange awkward glances. Brian stands.
I'm sorry about that.
It's all right. In retrospect, it's possible I wasn't entirely faultless.
Wearing a purple cocktail dress...
What? You think it's too much?
Okay. If you'd like to take your seats...
All right, team. Let's take these mothers out.
In slow motion, the team walk across the studio floor. Patrick runs his hand over his hair. A bank of monitors show the teams on set.
Coming to the studio live in 3, 2, 1. Intro Bamba.
It's University Challenge. Asking questions, Bamba Gascoigne.
Hello, welcome once again to University Challenge, this week's tournament between the University of Bristol and Queen's College Cambridge. Let's meet the team, starting with Queen's.
Hello, I'm Tristan Neville from Cheltenham, reading Pure Mathematics.
Hi, my name's Cordelia Sykes from Norwich, reading Chemistry.
And the team captain...
Anthony Salmon from Winchester, doing postgraduate research in medieval French literature.
Nigel de Haviland from West Dulwich, reading Economics.
And our team from Bristol.
Hi, I'm Alice Harbinson from Hampstead, London, reading drama.
I'm Brian Jackson from Southend in Essex, and I'm reading English literature.
And the team captain.
Patrick Wattash and Lyme, postgraduate in mechanical engineering.
And my name's Lucy Chang from Minneapolis, reading medicine.
Without further ado, here's your first start for 10. Listen carefully before you buzz. For a straight line graph of y against x where the gradient of the line is 2 and the y-intercept is 5, what is the value of y when x is 10?
Sam, Queens.
25.
Correct for 10 points. So Queens, 3 bonus questions on electron microscopy. What was identified by Hegel as the tendency of a concept to pass over into its own negation as a result of conflict between its...
What? Bristol.
Sorry, I don't know the answer.
I'm afraid to lose 5 points.
Sam, Queens.
Is it dialectics?
Dialectics, indeed. So 3 more questions for you.
Chang, Bristol.
The adrenal gland?
That's correct. Put you back in the game. 3 bonus questions on geography. Which is the only African country to have a coastline in both the Atlantic and the Mediterranean?
Algeria.
Come help me out here, guys.
Algeria. Algeria.
No, I'm afraid the answer is Morocco. Now look at your monitors.
What? Bristol.
Durham Cathedral.
No, I'm afraid that's incorrect.
Sykes, Queen's.
York Minster?
That's the correct answer.
De Havilland, Queen's.
Calcium carbonate.
Incorrect, afraid you lose 5 points.
Jackson, Bristol.
Calcium sulfite.
Calcium sulfate is correct.
Julie applauds.
It's the Oresteia by Aeschylus.
The Oresteia by Aeschylus?
Correct.
Euclidean algorithm.
The Euclidean algorithm?
Correct.
Oniswaki
Manipons?
That's the correct answer.
Bristol rise to 40 points against 90. Their expressions fixed, they listen to music.
Salmon, Queens.
The overture from Mozart's Così fan tutti. The mucous membrane.
Oxidization.
The siege of Krishnapur.
Is it an oxbow lake?
It is indeed an oxbow lake.
Patrick sighs.
Just go home.
There still may just be time to catch up, though, so here's another starter question for 10 points. Derived from the Greek words for wing and finger, what is the genus...
Jackson, Bristol.
Pterodactyl.
Is correct.
Remembering his dad, Brian smiles. An eye.
Flammed canal, the ora serrata, and... is it the fovea centralis?
It is indeed.
Which American poet and Fulbright scholar... Parkinson, Bristol.
Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath is correct, so 3 more questions for you on quotations from Shakespeare.
Twelfth Night.
Twelfth Night.
Correct.
Much Ado.
Much Ado About Nothing.
Correct.
Henry the Fifth. Which is it?
Come on.
Go with Brian.
Is the answer King Henry the Fifth?
Is the correct answer.
Jackson, Bristol.
The Battleship Potemkin.
Correct.
Jackson, Bristol.
The Treaty of Versailles.
Correct.
Watts, Bristol.
It's a form of fungal infection.
Is the correct answer.
Bristol trail by 20 points.
Jackson, Bristol.
Electroluminescence. Candoluminescence. Luminescence. Phosphorescence.
Come on.
Incandescence.
All correct. Amazing recovery. All to play for now. Just 5 points behind, 1 minute on the clock. For 10 points, a question on astronomy.
Jackson, Bristol.
Ursa Major or the Great Bear?
Bamba looks stunned. Brian smiles happily at Patrick while the Cambridge team stare at them.
The Big Dipper?
Well, rather amazingly, that is the correct answer, so I think perhaps we'd best stop recording.
In the gallery...
What just happened?
I don't know.
Does anyone know what the hell just happened?
Does anybody know how he knew the answer when I didn't even ask him the bloody question?
Brian's teammates stare at him, aghast. Later, he's sitting outside the gallery, dejected. Julie comes out, then Brian stands, and she puts a hand on his shoulder as he goes into the gallery. Outside the studios, she holds him close and strokes his arm as production staff watch him. Des opens the door on the van, and Brian climbs inside. Sitting on the floor in the back, Brian looks out the window.
Can you just get going, please?
Scowling, his teammates watch him leave, while Rebecca jogs towards the van and waves. She thoughtfully hugs her jacket close to her chest. At night, the family arrive back at their seaside home.
Brian, we'll laugh about this one day.
On the end of the pier, Brian walks towards the bench, then looks out across the grey ocean. He sits on the railing, facing inland. Now Brian's lying on the sofa at home, while his mum lays the table. He looks at her, then she walks over to the phone on a table close by.
Hello?
I'll just see if he's here. No, I'm sorry. I'll tell him you called. Bye. I don't know why you won't talk to her.
You know why not? I made a complete idiot of myself.
No, you didn't.
Mum, you were there, remember?
All right, you made a prat of yourself.
Thanks, Mum.
Look, Brian, the people who really care about you don't mind if you make mistakes. It's what you do next that matters. And if you can't see that, then you're not as smart as I thought you were.
As Julie bustles back into the kitchen, Brian's sitting on the sofa staring into space, contemplating her words. On the beach, he rolls a banner Des made for the show around a length of wood and sets fire to it. He watches the flaming fabric flap in the breeze in front of him. Surrounded by dirty plates and empty mugs, Brian's lying in his bed when his mum comes in.
Lord knows it would be the first time.
There's someone here to see you.
Come on, Mum.
Brian, you've been moping around for weeks now and I'm not having it. There's been far too much of that already in this house. It's Spencer. I'm not going to tell him to go away.
He reluctantly gets out of bed. On the beach...
I thought I'd see the day with you wearing a suit. Well, the magistrate liked it. She only gave me 6 months probation.
They're sitting on one of a collection of large boulders on the beach.
Hiding in a wardrobe, Spence. It's not funny.
Well, maybe you weren't so perfect yourself, mate.
I suppose not.
Spencer looks around.
But what are you still doing here, Bri?
What do you mean?
Well, why haven't you gone back yet?
I've gone off the idea. Besides, it's all a waste of time.
How can it be a waste of time?
You've changed your tune. It was a waste of time for someone like me.
But you love it.
Maybe I'm just not as clever as I thought I was.
Of course you're clever. It's just every now and then you do some stupid things, that's all.
Spencer reaches inside his jacket.
I got you this.
A cassette.
Thanks, Spence. Cheers.
It's only a tape, Bri. No need to get all gay about it.
They both smile.
I'll see you soon, yeah?
Brian nods, then Spencer stands and begins walking across the sandy beach. In his room, Brian's sitting on his bed, staring out of his large window, with his dad's jacket laid out on the bed beside him. He feels inside the breast pocket, pulling out the black and white photo of his father. He looks at it, then glances out the window, and pushes the picture inside his jacket. Downstairs, his mum's folding a tea towel.
Do you need more towels?
Got towels, Mum.
Bread, sugar, bag of potatoes.
Fine, Mum. See you, Des.
I'll see you, Bri. Right.
Brian.
Yeah?
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad to see the back of you. Remember, fresh fruit!
Brian runs past rows of bicycles parked in the railway station.
I admit it. I've made some mistakes. Okay, some big mistakes. Loads of them. But you can't hide in your room forever feeling sorry for yourself. It's not practical. At some point, you've got to get back out there, face up to things, and confront your demons.
Well, well, Mr. Jackson, could this possibly mean you're back?
Yes, if...
So,
We'll see you tomorrow then.
Thank you, Doctor.
He dashes up a stairwell.
And yes, I've made some bad choices. Lost my head. Let people down. People I care for. But there still might be time to get something right.
You came back. Oh, I'm so glad you came back. Now listen, you mustn't worry about what people are gonna say, okay? So you made a silly mistake. But the thing is—
Can I just stop you there for a minute, Alice? I'm sorry, but I'm looking for someone else.
She looks confused as he runs.
Ever since I can remember, I've wanted to be clever. Some people are born clever, same way some people are born beautiful. I'm not one of those people. I'm gonna have to work at it, put in the effort. And if I mess it up, I'll learn from it. Besides, sometimes it's not about knowing the right answer. Sometimes it's about asking the right question.
We want the money spent on nuclear weapons to be poured into our health system. Our nurseries and schools. Our universities.
Brian searches through the protesters assembled in front of the uni steps and finds Rebecca at the front. She clocks him standing next to her as he joins in the chant, punching his fist in the air like the others to emphasize the words.
Hello?
Hello?
I think we could talk. Somewhere a bit less angry.
All right.
They sit on a stone balustrade.
You've got a nerve, Brian Jackson, not answering my phone calls.
No, I know. And I'm sorry. I just needed time to make sense of everything.
I see. So does everything make sense now?
Yeah, almost. I just need to ask you one question.
Okay. One question. 10 points.
Think you can forgive me? Yeah, for all the mistakes, all the wrong answers and stupid remarks.
She looks into his eyes while he waits anxiously for her response.
Brian, you already know the answer.
With a sigh of relief, he begins to smile and leans towards her for a kiss. With a grin, she kisses back with increasing passion. She slides her hand behind Brian's head, and he responds by doing the same, drawing her body closer. Oblivious, other students walk along the colonnade and join in the protest. Brian and Rebecca continue to kiss hungrily, while the nearby crowd swells, joining in with the chants.